Not all trades are created equally. Some trades are good, and some trades are horseshit, like Matt Stafford for Jared Goff. But one trade that'll never let you down is Trader Joe's. Visit your local Trader Joe's, your neighborhood grocery store.
All right, gentlemen, welcome back to the program. 2 weeks in a row. Are you pinching yourself? Because you must be dreaming. A lot of things happened. A lot of teams won. A lot of teams lost. We had the playoffs now. Only one player between the four teams last night. Congrats, Trav. Devontae Adams had a great game in what was a horrible game to watch. So much so that I turned it off in the second quarter. But now that we are done with the regular season, let's go ahead. Let's do some record book update. We've now played 80 games in the regular season. Between the six seasons that we've done this, I'll go ahead. I'll start out from top to bottom because I find that the bottom one is the most interesting. Eric, congratulations. He sits at the top for regular season record at 49-31. He also captured his third East Division title this year, the most East Division titles for anybody. Bono, former champion, is at the top of the West with a 48-32 record. He captured his record-breaking fourth West Division title, fourth in 6 years. Bert, another former champion, is third most regular season wins at 47-33, followed by another former champion, Kevin, who's at 45-35. Important to note that Kevin also has the other two West Division titles. I am one game behind Kevin, also a former champion, by the way. I have two East Division titles. My record in the regular season is 44-36. Following that, we have Bob, actually, at 37-43, followed by our last former champion, Trav, who is 36-44. JD tied with Trav is Fetus slash Evan, who the franchise itself is 36-44 as well. They have one East Division title. Fetus himself, though, since taking over the team, is 14-14, 11-3 to 3-11. JD then rings us in at number nine with a 34-46 record. And then finally, Kyle has a 24-56 record. I'll let that sink in for a second. Gindy broke a record this year, 12 wins, the most wins in a season ever. I know that we just extended it out to 14 games. This is our second year of doing 14 games. So while we do play one more game, he also set the record for least amount of regular season losses in a season with two. So most wins in a season, least amount of losses in a regular season. He also now ranks as number two all time in points for a regular season at 1974.3. The only team that has ever scored more is the 2018 Motor City Hogs, the lone standalone in the 2000 point club at 2,033.3. Mind you that was also in 13 games. And mind you that I did not win that season. Fuck you, Bert. This also is a important season for Gindy as he led the league in scoring for the third time in league history. That is the most amount of time somebody has led the league in scoring ever. Let's talk playoff appearances. We'll get this updated as well. There's a four-team tie for least amount of playoff appearances with four teams. Kyle, JD, Bob, and Brennan all have one appearance. That one appearance for Brennan is encapsulating the entire franchise history. He led that team to their first playoff appearance ever last year. The next, we have another four-team tie with three playoff appearances apiece. Trav and Eric, this is both their third playoff appearance this year. Bert and Kevin have also appeared in it three times as well. And then finally, tied at the top with a two-team tie, Bono and I, both with four appearances. Also, kind of cool to note that Bono has never made the playoffs as a wild card. He's only gone to the playoffs as a division winner. Looking at the playoffs this year, let's get some good factoids out there. Bono, Trav, and myself are three teams that have already won, Eric being the lone man out there, but Eric has more championship appearances than the three of us do. Eric's been to the championship twice. He went back-to-back years in 2020 and 2021. Came up short to Bono in 2020 and Kevin in 2021. Eric's record in the playoffs is 2-2. Bono is 2-2. I am 2-2. Trav is 2-1. I'll also shout out to Bert and Kevin, who are both 3-2 in the playoffs. Bono is also not a stranger to having the other three teams in the playoffs be from the East Division. As a matter of fact, the year he won, there were three teams from the East Division. It was Gindy, myself, and Bert. Bono actually came out on top. This is actually the third time in the last 4 years that the East has claimed both wild card spots, the exception being 2021, when the East actually only sent one team to the playoffs. And that was the year that Kyle actually made it to the playoffs. Funny enough. All right, let's change gears. Let's give a little recap to what happened last week. I kind of called it how I saw it. You know, it didn't matter whether or not Kevin beat me. He did end up making a great comeback. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins went the fuck off on Monday Night Football. It was a bit ridiculous, if you ask me. Bono beat Bert. I saw that one coming. I got to hand it to JD. Made a good run there at the end. Handed Gindy his only his second loss on the year. Very impressive from JD. I got to hand it to him. Brennan won the toilet bowl. Who gives a shit? And yeah, Trav won. Trav beat Kyle. Played out exactly how I saw it playing out. Playoffs. You have Gindy and Trav. On the year, Gindy bested Trav two times in the regular season. The first one coming in week four when Trav lost 129 to 136. And again in week 13, Trav fell just a little bit short, 128.8 to 148. The only matchup that was between Bono and I believe Bono crushed me. Yep, 116 to 140. So the division champions have a good outlook. As a reminder, I know, you know, some people might not know this one in particular, but it is a two-week playoff. We have Trav already getting us started up with the matchups. Davante Adams, big game, 24.1 yesterday. He's got Josh Allen going against the Dallas defense, which should be interesting. Bijan going against Carolina's defense is a favorable matchup on his end. We'll have to see what Michael Pittman does, but I think the biggest catalyst for Trav's team in this uphill battle that he has against Gindy will be A-Chain, Devon A-Chain. Coming back from that injury, saw a little bit of a return to form last week when he put up 12.1, actually not so much. The week prior is the one I was talking about when he put up 25.3, two touchdowns. I think that will be a big catalyst for Trav. Gindy side, I mean, what is there to say? He's got CeeDee Lamb going against Buffalo's defense, which I feel like has been Swiss cheese all year. Ja'Marr Chase, favorable matchup against Minnesota, but he's got, you know, that Browning guy throwing to him. Kyren Williams going against the Washington defense, favorable matchup there. ETN, a little banged up, but should be good to go. But he's got Baltimore in Baltimore, I believe. Or no, at home. But Sunday Night Football. So that will be one to watch. Puka Nacua, Keenan Allen's out now. I believe he said that his quarterback was out for the year. I don't know who his quarterback was. He doesn't even have another one on his roster. The one thing with both these guys' benches that's a little shocking to me is that Gindy has Courtland Sutton on the bench going against the Detroit Lions. I'm a Detroit Lions fan, but that secondary is fucking dog piss. How Gindy elects to not put him in is beyond me, and I find it absolutely absurd. For week 16, we'll see what kind of changes they end up making, but, you know, Trav's got a couple more favorable matchups. He's got Josh Allen going against the Chargers. He's got Bijan going against Indy. Devontae against KC. That might not actually be too favorable of a matchup. He's got Achane going against Dallas, which is another tough matchup. It will be interesting to see what kind of changes Trav ends up making. Michael Pittman going against Atlanta. Atlanta's defense is a little stout. They're actually a little sneaky stout. So he doesn't have the greatest bench right now. He's got Lockett on there. Deontay Johnson's been a bum all year. Chuba Hubbard will be interesting to see how he progresses. He's had a couple good weeks. On Gindy's side, Kyren Williams going against New Orleans. That's a good matchup. Chase going against Pittsburgh. Lamb going against Miami will be big. Puka Nacua against New Orleans again. He's got that Stafford-Nacua connection, so we'll have to see if that ends up playing up a big role. For Bono and I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this one shakes out. I think we're pretty evenly matched up, and at the moment, the projections are a point apart. No Josh Jacobs for me this past week. Seeing as how the Raiders ended up scoring 63 points, I'm going to say that was a pretty big blow. I got to imagine that Jacobs would have had some part of that. But you look at the matchups I have this week. I got Lamar going against Jacksonville, who's the 30th ranked defense against quarterbacks. Montgomery, who's going against Denver, the 32nd ranked team going against running backs. Swift at Seattle, who's the 28th ranked defense against running backs. Brown going against Seattle, the 29th ranked defense against wide receivers. Laporta going against Denver, the 31st ranked team against tight ends. Rashid Rice going against New England, the 21st ranked defense against wide receivers. The toughest matchup will be Tyreek Hill going against the Jets and having Sauce Gardner on him. Tyreek Hill in his last matchup against the Jets, though, put up 25.4. He had a touchdown, 9 catches, 102 yards on 12 targets. But I don't think he was banged up when the last time they went against them. So that will be interesting to see. Week 16, Lamar going against San Francisco's defense. I'd imagine that he finds some pine. Montgomery against Minnesota, Swift against the Giants, Tyreek against Dallas. That's going to be another game where it's like, how do you bench Tyreek Hill? But that is not a favorable matchup, and Miami has struggled against good teams all year. A.J. Brown going against the Giants. That's a very favorable matchup. Laporta against Minnesota. Rashid Rice going against Las Vegas. Jacobs against KC. Don't love that. That's not a great matchup. Olave against the Rams. Maybe he finds the starting lineup. Bono, on the other hand. Lawrence against Tampa Bay. McCaffrey against Baltimore, which will be a great game. Mixon against Pittsburgh. That's a good matchup. He's got some favorable stuff. We'll have to wait and see how this one plays out. I think this matchup will end up being a lot more interesting than Frank Lee and Wesley Hall Pizza. But do I think that Wesley Hall Pizza will run away with it? No. Especially after the start that Trav had. Who knows? Maybe we'll see a blowout on the other end. The one thing with Gindy, though, is that he's been to the playoffs twice. He's made it to the championship twice. But will he get over the hump finally? I think that is the clear-as-day number one storyline here. You heard me at the top of the show. Gindy, record for most times leading the league in points scored. He's got the best regular season record. He's got the most East Division titles. He's got, I think, tied for the most championship appearances with Burt and Kevin. He's got all these accolades, but the one thing that's missing, the most elusive thing to him, is the fact that he has not won a championship yet. You know, you could almost start to label him as a choke artist. Almost. I'm not saying that you can, but you can almost start to make that argument. By far, without a doubt, the best regular season team that this league has ever seen, except for maybe Bono. But until he gets over that hump, can we call him the GOAT? I don't know. Okay, instead of the Travis Kraft Power Ranking portion of the show, we're actually going to pivot to some quotes from our head coaches as they go into the playoffs. Trav and I had a miscommunication. no worries there. His power rankings will be back in full force come another episode. So Coach Gindy was asked, you've had a record-setting regular season, including your third East Division title, third year of leading the league in points for, most amount of wins, and least amount of losses in regular season history. With all that said, you've made it to the championship twice before and fell short both times. Are you doing anything differently this year in the offseason so you don't fall short once more? Coach Gindy replied, apparently not. Herbert, dead. Keenan Allen, dead. But we will take our blows and move forward. That's all you can do in this world. Gindy 2-0 in round one of the playoffs, 0-2 in round two of the playoffs. We'll see. Let's see if he can put it together. I don't know. It's not off to a good start. His opponent was asked, your matchup against the team with the greatest regular season record in WAA history, 0-2 against them in the regular season. What are you telling the guys to get them in the right mindset for the two-week matchup? Coach Kraft responded, yeah, great question. The message is simple for us. We've been here before. The 4 seed against the 1 seed with the best record. Last year, everybody wrote us off, and we beat Brennan and continue forward to the championship. The formula is the same here. Control what you can control. We're in the playoffs now. Records don't matter. Beat the guy who's lined up across from you, and you'll extend your season. Right now, that guy is Eric. Everyone has a job to do. It's a simple matter of just going out there and executing. Some great words from Coach Kraft. You can see how the team really rallies behind him here, you know, in these late season windows. You know, he had a great streak to kind of end the year and, you know, nosed his way into the playoffs. Same thing he did last year. You can see that the team really rallies around them. They're a late-season team. Coach Bonifilio was asked, you're matched up with the Floppertons in the first round of the offs, while you both are no strangers to the playoffs, tied for the league high with 4 appearances. This is your first time going head-to-head in the playoffs. Does the game plan change at all, knowing that you're going against a team with the same amount of experience? Coach Bonifilio replied, should be a great matchup with all the vets out there. I think the winner of this game is going to win the whole thing. Some wise words. Finally, we have a special treat for you guys as we were able to get in the locker room for Coach Scott of the Floppy Town Floppertons as he addressed the team going into the playoff matchup. This is the first time that the Floppy Town Floppertons have returned to the playoffs in 2 years. And so this is what Coach Scott said to the boys. You guys know me, that I'm about as positive a guy as there is. I believe our team is better than every fucking team in the league. I believe our players are better than any other players in the league, right? Those are true statements. That's how I believe. But this team is only going so far if I'm the only guy that leads. The team is only going so far. I'm not a great leader, okay? I'm not a great leader. I can't lead myself, this whole group of men. We ain't going to win, guys, if it's about me. I'm sitting back waiting for us to understand the team that we said we were going to be. His grammar isn't the greatest. What the hell are we waiting on? What the hell are we waiting on? Do you want it or not? Do you understand that there's a price to pay? Can we have fun? You're damn right. I demand that we have fun. Now, there's a difference between having fun and being a jackass. Our defense was a jackass when we went to Hofstra. Eating a bunch of cheeseburgers before we go stretch and all that, that's being a jackass. You could be a world champion, but not like this. We won't win it. We'll sit back and say, why didn't we do it? We didn't do it because where are our fucking priorities? How about our offense? When are we going to put it together? When are we going to put it together? Can we not run the ball down their throats every snap? Can we not throw it anytime we want to fucking throw it? Let's make sure we play like the fucking Floppy Town Floppertons and not some fucking slap shit team. That's what I want to see tomorrow. Do we understand what we want to see tomorrow? Let's go eat a goddamn snack. Coach Scott on addressing his team in the locker room before his big matchup with the Hold My Cannolis. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you back here after round one of the playoffs. Good luck, Bert, Bono, Eric. Any one of you will continuously represent our team in a positive light. Not our team, our league, in a positive light. All right, we'll catch you on the next one. Bye. Goodbye. Goodbye now. Bye. Goodbye.
Nothing beats the excitement of the approaching NFL season and everything that comes with it. Betting,
beers with the boys, and most importantly, fantasy football. It's hard to beat. And so is the depression that comes with it when your team ends up 1-3 after the first 4 weeks. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 800-273-8255.